just a picture. Because he is now, he is basically repeatedly referring to the world as being a hexagon. And that's how it is in the yantra. And it'll come out even more in verse 5. In other words, he is taking this yantra to be a reality. Yeah. He's not saying that, you know, we have drawn a drawing of Gokula and we have made it, the world, to look like a hexagon. He's saying that where Radha and Krishna live, that is hexagonally shaped. So that is how it is, of course, in the yantra. But it is not exactly that Goloka Vrindavan is necessarily in these types of shapes, meaning, you know, very finite geographical, geometric forms that we use in material mathematics. So here now we go out to the petals. And again, if we look at our yantra, the right way up, and those of you particularly who have the colored ones, the red, they are the petals. In other versions of the yantra, of course we understand that there are thousands of petals. Here we just have 8, I think. So there are different versions of the yantra, sometimes with many, many banks of petals. But here, if we look at it the right way up, we'll see in the top petal, that is Lalita's place. Then going around to our right, next is Vishaka's. Then on the right-hand side is Chitra Devi's. Then going around further to right, approaching the bottom, it's Indulekha's. Right at the very bottom is Champaklata's. Coming back up again on the left-hand side, who's this? Rangadevi. Then it's Tungavidya. On the left-hand side is Tungavidya. And coming up to the top on the left-hand side, it's Sue Davies. So according to this yantric depiction of Goloka or Gokula Vrindavan, the Astasakis, the 8 main friends of Radharani, they have their own special places where those petals are. And then the places like these extra petals in between, in the colored yantra, they're blue. In the one which is just black and white, you'll see it also says cleam on it. Same as what is in the center. So those we could take to be the garden-like dham, or the spiritual abode of Radharani. Then, you know, as I said, there are other versions of the yantra which have more petals. Loads of petals, you know, one layer after another going out. In that case, some of the petals are taken to be the residences of people like Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and their relatives and friends and so on. Some of the petals or some of the leaves are taken to be the cow pastures. The lines around the edges of the petals or leaves, they are the paths. And as lotuses do, this lotus of Goloka or Gokula Vrindavan, sometimes it's opened, sometimes it's closed, and it moves in between, partly open, partly closed like this. In this way, this abode of Radha and Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, is very animated and very extraordinary transcendental place. Let's just have a look here. Oh, well, there is also, at the end of the purport of text 4, it explains how Kleem is Radha and Krishna. Gopal Tapani says that Omkar signifies Gopal, who's Krishna, of course, and his potency, who is certainly Radharani. And the Gopal Tapani says that Kleem is the same as Omkar. Hence, the Kama Beej, which is Kleem. Hence, Kleem is Radha and Krishna. Kleem is Radha and Krishna, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very, what you might call, rasika understanding of this word Kleem. This mantra, Beej mantra, Kleem. K. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, K means Krishna. L is Radharani. M is their embracing. And the dot over the M stands for their kiss. So Kleem then, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, can be taken to be Radha and Krishna embracing and kissing. Anyway, at least we can take it that this Kama Beej, this Kleem, this Kama Beej is Radha and Krishna. I think we'll end here. And give text 5 more time in a few days when we get together again. Any other questions or comments? Propagating manifestations emanating from the chit potency, as mentioned in the middle of the purport of text 4. Now, that is described in the purport of text 5. Actually, who it is, it's Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. It's them. Yeah. Four propagating manifestations. Propagating means that from them, particularly from Sankarshan, we were talking about Lord Balaram the other day. So Sankarshan is coming directly from Balaram. And this, the manifesting of the spiritual realm, all the Vaikuntha planets, that is all done through Sankarshan, actually. And with the assistance of Vasudev, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. But that's the basic idea. This is in the middle of the purport of text 4. It refers to the propagating manifestations. Yeah. So they're on the edge. And if you can read Sanskrit or Hindi, you'll see that in our yantra, on the four sides, we have Pradyumna here at the top. Then on our right, it's Vasudev at the bottom, Aniruddha, and on our left, it's Sankarshan. So they're on the edge, on the four edges. But we'll get to that when we do text 5. And heard that. What he said was that we were talking earlier about how one may become perfect now, or at some point, and if one's eternal relationship is with Krishna in Vrindavan, then one would have to go to wherever, whichever universe Krishna's having his pastimes in at that time, and spend a lifetime there with Krishna in his leelas within this realm, in a Gokula. Now, the suggestion is that one has to take birth in an earthly, in a Gokula, even where there is no, where Krishna is not performing his pastimes. Now, I haven't heard that, so I don't know if I could comment on that specifically, but I could definitely say that in the Krishna books, Prabhupada very clearly says, as we just mentioned, how you have to go to wherever it is, maybe some distant universe somewhere, and Krishna is there, and you have to take birth and be with Krishna in Gokula. And then if you get through that successfully, then you can go to Goloka. That's what Prabhupada said. Now, I don't know if you have a reference. Do you have a reference for that? I haven't come across it personally. Briya Bhagavatamrita. We could possibly have a look-see. Yeah. But I don't offhand recall having seen it, although perhaps it's there. These people who are living here in Vrindavan, and the animals and the trees and all the living entities, they're very, very special. And basically, they're on their way back to Godhead. Basically, they're on their way back to Godhead. We all know, I mean, we've definitely heard that the residents, all the living entities here in this Vrindavan, as we see it today, they're all very special people who are, I mean, special living entities who are on their way back to Godhead. So the suggestion mentioned here by Brihat Mridanga Prabhu is that after becoming, you know, perfect or more or less, then one might possibly take birth in this type of situation, then go to a Gokula where Krishna is actually having his pastimes, then Goloka Vrindavan. Now, to tell you the truth, as I say, I haven't seen it in exactly those terms, but it's definitely a fact that Prabhupada mentions about how special the living entities are here. Yeah, and there's one bumblebee sort of right in the back there. I think he's still there, buzzing around, a big bumblebee. And I was just thinking, maybe he's one of them. What are they meant to be like? Sapphires or something like that, I forget. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing on with our Brahma Samhita overview course. And today we are going to read through text 5, and if we have time, text 6. So we can do the Sanskrit responsively for text 5. Chaturasram tatparita Sweta dvipakyam adbhutam Chaturasram chaturmurtesh Chaturdhamma chaturshkritam. Translation. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Swetadweep, surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Swetadweep is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra, and which are the bases of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda, and Nila. There are 10 protectors, dikpals, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Vimala, etc., shine on all sides. We could initially refer back to our yantra, and here we'll see the basic form of what is being described here. Again, get your very central one, correct, klim, with the dot at the top right-hand side. Then, up in the top, right up in the top, that is the abode of Pradyumna. Coming around to the right-hand side, that is the abode of Vasudeva. Right at the very bottom is the abode of Aniruddha. And on the left side is the abode of Sankarsan. And around it all is this line, this sort of box, which is going around the whole thing. That is the quadrangle. So, there we see, there are the abodes depicted within the yantra, the abodes of Pradyumna, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, and Sankarsan. And they're all enclosed within this quadrangular place. So you follow what the verse is referring to in that regard? Yeah. It's the yantric depiction of Svetadvipa, which is the external area in terms of the yantra, how things are positioned in this meditational, worshipable yantra. So these outer areas of the whole quadrangular yantra, they are Svetadvipa. The boundaries of Gokula, they are where the circle goes around and touches the tops of the petals. You can see that? So that is the boundary of Gokula. So outside that circle, but within the quadrangle, and including these four abodes on the four sides of the Chaturvyuha, this is Svetadvipa. So it's part of Gokula or Goloka. It is part of the supreme abode. And Lord Brahma describes it as being mysterious. And when we read through these different things which are situated there, then we can see it is quite extraordinary, actually. All these things which in some cases you mightn't expect to be there in Goloka Vrindavan, like Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha, for example. What he refers to, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta translates as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation. Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. Sorry? Yes. Well, yes, we would expect that. But anyway, we can attempt to explain these things. And also the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, normally they're considered to be mainly Karmakandiya. And they're described as being the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. So what are they doing in Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan? What are they doing there? Well, anyway, let us try and talk about that now. So, first of all, the verse says that Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are there. They're expanded from Lord Balaram. This outer area, the Svetadvipa area, it's something like it includes Dwaraka, Mathura, particularly these two places. Vasudeva Krishna. He's normally associated with Mathura. He appears there. And then he goes to Dwaraka, and Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Sankarshan, they're definitely considered to be residents of Dwarka. But Mathura and Dwarka are part of Goloka. They're part of the supreme abode. They're above Vaikuntha. And in the spiritual realm, they're considered to be on the Goloka Vrindavan planet, as distinct from the Vaikuntha realms, where the highest places are Hastinapur and Ayodhya. They're the highest realms within Vaikuntha. And then above that, starting with Dwarka, then going to Mathura, and finally Gokula, they're part of Goloka Vrindavan. Or in the context of the Earth planet, they're considered to be within this supreme abode of the Lord, which is covered by the Yantra and part of Svetadvipa. So Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna are there. Then, next is described Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. They are existing there in Goloka Vrindavan or in Svetadvipa. They're existing there in their ultimate pure forms. For example, Dharma means religiously performed occupational duties. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, performing all these duties in terms of the Vedic injunctions, this is called Dharma, in terms of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. So, in Svetadvipa, in Goloka Vrindavan, we find that Dharma is manifested, displayed on its highest level by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They're protecting the cows. They're worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Particularly, they're totally overwhelmed with love for Krishna. So that is the topmost platform of Dharma. And when you come down to a lower level, like in mundane human society, that is then reflected in Karmakandya and various other types of dharmas, Vedic dharmas. Similarly, artha. Artha means making material progress, basically. Acquiring material facility. That is manifest in its topmost form in Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan in the form of Nanda Maharaj's wealth, all his cows. They're all used for Krishna, for the enjoyment of Krishna. All the jewels, all the chintamani, and all the kalpa vriksha trees, and all these things. You know, these are, when you talk about wealth, Goloka Vrindavan, or Gokula Vrindavan also, they're extremely wealthy. And Nanda Maharaj and company, they are, through their pious pursuit of Vaishya Dharma as pure devotees of Krishna, they're using all the wealth and all the facilities and everything for Krishna's pleasure. And then on the lower level, this level, or in the material realm, then that's reflected in Karmakandya and so on. Then karma, sense gratification, utilizing your facilities for your enjoyment. Well, that is epitomized in Goloka Vrindavan in the form of the gopis and their love for Krishna. That is the topmost form of karma. But that is all for Krishna's enjoyment. That, of course, is reflected in material artha in the form of expanding your household life and all that sort of thing, and just enjoying generally, as pious people may do who are following some form of Vedic system or another. And moksha. Moksha, of course, is automatically there in Goloka Vrindavan. It's the topmost place of liberation, and the inhabitants are the topmost liberated devotees. So in these ways, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha are manifest in Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan in their topmost forms, and then their different types of perverted reflections as you go down the scale into the material world. Then, let's see, next is the four Vedas, Rigyaja, Samur, and Sama, and Atharva. Well, the four Vedas are there in Goloka Vrindavan, in Sweta Dweep, in their original forms, and they're simply singing the glories of Krishna, that's all. That's all. Nothing other than that. The Karmakandiya section of the Vedas, as we know the Vedas on this planet, that is mainly, or these four Vedas at least, Rig Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Vedas, they are mainly dealing with material upliftment. But that material upliftment is not meant to be an end in itself. It's meant to be part of a greater process which brings a person ultimately to Krishna consciousness and going back to Godhead. That's, our acharyas have explained that very clearly in their Bhagavad Gita commentaries, the concept of the yoga ladder, that a person starts off from just totally materialistic life. They start off, traditionally at least, by taking up Karmakandiya under the direction of a guru or some priests like that, some Brahmins who would direct them. And as they became more advanced in that, they could come to Karma Yoga, then come to Bhakti Yoga, gradually becoming purified. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, when he discusses the 10 offenses, and he talks about the fourth offense, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures, or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, he says we should be very careful not to blaspheme the Karmakandiya section of the Vedas. We might be prone to do that, possibly, if we're devotees, because probably we would see how many people who follow that Karmakandiya section don't get any further. They simply get caught up in Karmakandiya and aspiring for different higher material goals. So therefore we might be inclined to sort of denigrate or put down, minimize the Karmakandiya section of the Vedas. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says we should see it as being part of a greater whole, which is the whole Vedic system, which is meant to bring people ultimately, gradually, step by step, to Krishna consciousness. So anyway, in Goloka Vrindavan, those four Vedas are manifest in their original forms, and they're simply glorifying Krishna, that's all. No Karmakandiya in Goloka Vrindavan. I mean, if there is any, I mean, in a sense there is, like the gopis worship Katyayani. But they're worshipping her in order to get Krishna as their husband. So it's transcendental. Then, let's see. Oh, tridents, yes. Someone asked about this the other day. These are discussed in the middle of page 13. There are 10 tridents in the 10 directions, including up and down. And they are guarding Goloka Vrindavan from, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, self-conceited people who try to reach Goloka through yoga and jnana. So they are baffled in their attempts, being pierced by the tridents. And what is like the nature of those tridents? That's explained just a few lines down. Shula.